Good morning, everyone. It's good to see everyone this morning. It's already March. Can you believe that? It's March already. How did that happen? Wow. We thank God for this new month. And this month is a month of victory. And I know that God is going to make us victorious over every issue that concerns our life in this month, in Jesus' mighty name.
Amen.
Amen. So we're still carrying on with the series, which is titled Loving the Right Way. And it's quite interesting because when we hear these topics about marriage, singles, and all of that, you know, we often think that it just focuses on maybe somebody that's in a marriage or someone who is single looking for that spouse. But there's so many things, I tell you, that we can learn from this series. Even if we treated it for the next 10 years, we will not finish what God has in store for us. Because even in Ephesians chapter 5, as we read some weeks back, God uses marriage to compare the love that he has for the church, as he calls the church of God his bride. So this morning, even as we continue with this theme, loving the right way, if you're not married, it doesn't matter because God has a word for you this morning. Amen? God has a word for you this morning. So even though this topic, we're going to be drawing from marriage, but we will be able to see by the grace of God how it can help us even in our walk with God. Thank you, Lord. So Father, Lord, I just thank you because even before we came here, you have been here, your angel is at the door, and Jesus has been here waiting for us. We thank you, Lord, because Holy Spirit, every word that is spoken, I pray that, Lord God, you will interpret it to mean something in every individual because you know their hearts, oh Lord, you know what they're in need of. You know what they need to hear. So Holy Spirit, the Bible says that Lydia, her eyes were open and she heard the word of God. Father, I pray, Lord, let the eyes of our heart be open this morning as we receive the word. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. So still under the topic of loving the right way, I also pulled out maybe a subheading, which I would call doing Christian marriage God's way. And I always say Christian marriage because I don't want us to be thinking that we're talking about the way the marriage system is in the world. No, we're talking about Christian marriage here. So doing Christian marriage God's way. And what we want to understand this morning is that in doing marriage God's way, we need to change our view about marriage and see it through the lens of God. And so in seeing marriage through the lens of God, I mean, there's so many revelations under this topic, as we would have seen from pastors preaching last week and even prior. One of the things that I gained, and I had to like say, God, forgive me for judging Rebecca. It was Rebecca, isn't it? I'd always thought that Rebecca, like, wasn't she a bad mother? Because how could she do favoritism with her children? But yesterday, 2 weeks ago, because last Sunday we were in London, 2 weeks ago, when Pastor talked about Rebecca had like a sound relationship with God, she felt some kicks or whatever. I would just interpret it as kicks. When she felt something moving in her tummy, she went to inquire of God and she prayed. And then God told her that, look, there are two nations in your womb and the younger will lead the older. And you know, this lady, even years later, when it was time for the father to bless the children, she remembered God's prophecy. And that means all these years she was making sure that God's prophecy be fulfilled. But you know, sometimes people will see that as she was a bad mother because she favored, how could she make the younger one get the elder's blessing? But she was actually very a discerning lady and very prophetic. So just saying that in this marriage series, can you believe that we will get that revelation? So God has so much goodies in store for us this morning. So going back to what we're going to be looking at this morning, doing Christian marriage God's way, I have 3 points that I'd like us to look at this morning, if God will help us with time. So in order for us to understand how to do Christian marriage God's ways, we need to change our perspective and the way we view marriage by doing the following. Number one, we need to view marriage as one of the many blessings of God. The reason why I said as one of the many blessings of God, it doesn't mean that if you're not married, you're not blessed. No, but it is a blessing from God. Then number two, marriage is part of your salvation walk. If you find yourself being married, just know that it's part of your salvation walk. And then number three, we should not allow the ways of the world influence our marriage. Okay, so don't worry if you didn't get it down, because I'll be going through them again. So let's go back to the first point. The first point was viewing marriage as one of the many blessings from God. You know, this week I was just thinking about the blessings of God. And sometimes maybe people may think that the blessings of God are only these tangible things. You know, the blessings of God is when I've got 10 million in my bank account. Amen. That would be nice, wouldn't it? Yeah. 10 million would be nice. But you know, even 10 million nowadays, if you live in London, by the time that money will finish very quickly. But blessings of God is not necessarily 10 million in your account. The blessings of God is not necessarily you driving, I don't know, whatever spec your car is, a Jaguar or a car that flies. I believe in Japan and all these places, they're probably doing that right now. The blessings of God is not necessarily you having every color of your favorite pair of shoes in your closet, you know. But you know, the blessings of God are so many different things. For example now, you sitting down on this chair, being alive, not needing an equipment to keep you breathing. Do you know that's a blessing from God? A blessing from God. Thank God that I even have more than three pairs of shoes to wear. Do you know that's a blessing from God? A blessing from God is, yeah, I might not like the job that I have, but thank God I have a job. The blessing of God is in so many different ways. And this got me thinking about, you know, marriage is a blessing from God. And I'd like us to read some scriptures this morning. Let's turn to James chapter 1, please. James chapter 1, verse 16 to 17. James chapter 1, verse 16 to 17. This scripture says, "Don't be deceived, my dear brothers and sisters. Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows." So similar to some of the blessings that I just mentioned, do you know that you being in a marriage is a blessing? Because even if you're married, you know, not being rude, there's so many women maybe who are prettier than you, who, you know, maybe, I don't know, wiser than you, but how come that man or that woman, when he saw you, he said yes? Like Pastor said, "I like the ears," or "I like the shape of that nose." And there was something he said that was very profound, that this attraction thing is not this scientific thing that people say, laws of attraction. It's like a spiritual thing. What makes that one person likes that individual and say, "I want to spend the rest of my life with them"? I think when we see that marriage is a blessing, that might make us treat our spouse a bit differently, knowing that this thing, marriage is a blessing. And also as well, I want us to read another scripture. So just like marriage is a blessing, I didn't even realize. Thank you. Thank you so much. So just like marriage is a blessing, there's so many things that is a blessing from God. Like we read earlier on in that scripture, James chapter 1, verse 16 to 7, that every perfect gift comes from above. You know, there's some gifts that you cannot buy. please let me know because I've not been informed. Can you go to Tesco and get a husband? Can you go to help some sisters out? Can you go to Tesco and get a husband? No, you can't. So many blessings that God has given us. And some of the things that I looked at, that I want us to see as well. The blessing even of salvation is a miracle. And the blessing of the word of God as well. I'd like us to read James chapter 1, verse 25. This scripture says, "But whoever looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues in it, not forgetting what they have heard, but doing it, they'll be blessed in what they do." So when we're looking at that marriage is a blessing, and not just thinking, oh, well, it's just one of those things, I'm married. No, it's not just one of those things. It's a big deal for that person to say, right, I'd like to marry you, or like versa. I wanted to say the woman, but I don't think women don't propose, do they? Although the world is changing now. The Bible says that he that finds a wife. So that scripture that says, but whoever, in James chapter 1, verse 25, but whoever looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues in it, not forgetting what they have heard, but doing it, they will be blessed in what they do. So even though marriage is a blessing, there are ways in which we can see challenges through in our marriages. On Friday, we had a very interesting discussion. So every Friday here at 7:30 to 9 p.m., we have in-person Bible studies. And one of the questions we were asked is, like, what keeps a marriage? What keeps a marriage? And I think we had a discussion that in the generation that we're in now, there's a lot. There's a lot of information. There's Google. Thank God for Google. That has helped me out at work many times. There's YouTube, there's so many platforms. I'm sure the young people here can list like 10. I think I know about 3. There's Instagram, there's this. There's so much that is giving us information. And all of that, I was thinking this morning, all of that is great. But you know what is greater? What is greater is the wisdom that came before Google. The wisdom that came before YouTube, and that is the Word of God. And the Word of God is not just a scripture. You see, the Word of God is alive. When we say alive, not even figurative, it is alive. When you speak that word, just like some people who believe in diabolical powers, when they cast spells and stuff, it does something. You know, when we speak God's word, when you pray in church, when you declare, like we declare the scriptures, the earth is the Lord and the fullness thereof, any demon that is in this vicinity, when they hear that word, this earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, they have to flee, they have to bow. So the word of God is greater than any knowledge. And we just read in James 1:25 that the word of God helps us to be blessed. And so one of the things I just wanted to say is there's a lot of information out there, which is great. I think somebody mentioned on Friday there's a lot of Christian counseling, there's a lot of books on marriage, there's a lot of scientific theories, psychological theories, but let me tell you, there is the Word of God which is greater than that. And I just want to encourage us, in order to have a marriage that will stand the test of time, we need to look at the word of God. And another scripture says that in Matthew chapter 4, verse 4, it says, Jesus answered, it is written, man shall not live on bread alone, but every word that comes out from the mouth of God. So that means our nutrition for living is the word of God. I mentioned something on Friday, which may seem like a joke, but you know, if we're not careful, we will lean on our own understanding to make our marriage work, to make things in life work for us. But you know, Zechariah, is it verse 4, verse 6, it said, it's not by power nor by might, but it's by the Spirit of the Lord. Do you know that some people are going to the extent of thinking what will make my marriage work is making myself look better? Now, I have to be careful with this. I don't want you to misquote me and think that, oh, if I'm married, I don't need to look good. No, 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 no. We need to brush our teeth. We need to smell good. Yeah? But what I'm trying to say is, someone's laughing, no, yeah. Because I think I heard somewhere some funny thing that if you use deodorant, then that is kind of worshiping the devil or something. Sorry, can I just say, using deodorant is good. Okay? And hygiene is good. But what I'm trying to say is, you going, spending, I don't know, thousands of pounds on cosmetic surgery to change your face, to change your figure, and what have you, you know, that might last maybe for a couple of weeks. But what happens when your husband sees a woman that looks better? What happens to your partner? Maybe if it's a woman, and her husband goes to the gym 24/7, has big muscles and stuff. What happens when he sees a guy that looks better? So what I'm just trying to say, we cannot sustain our marriage by our own might, but we need to rely on the word of God. Amen? Amen. The word of God will stand the test of time, and the word of God is powerful. Amen. Another thing that I'd like us to also look at is, as Christians, one of the advantages that we have as well in our marriages is the blessing of peace. Do you know that peace is a blessing? I want you to say it to yourselves. Peace is a blessing. Peace is a blessing. And how do I know that? It's not me saying it. The word of God says that. In Isaiah chapter 26, verse 3, it says, "And you will keep in perfect peace those whose minds are steadfast because they trust in you." I tell you, you see, God's peace is there, but we need to trust in him. You know, sometimes, like we said, we attribute the blessings of God to physical things, but the peace of God is a powerful thing. Some people are going through challenges and so many things in marriage, but what is keeping them is their trust in God and is the peace of God. And let me tell you something, the only way that we can survive in marriage is making sure that we trust in God and we have the peace of God. Also, there's another scripture that says that the peace of God, it passes all understanding. You know, when we look at some examples or we hear some stories of how people have gone through so many things in their marriages, and we think, how did they stand? That is the answer. The way that they stood was the peace of God. Amen. So the next point I'd like us to look at is, doing Christian marriage God's way is knowing that it's part of your salvation walk. Knowing that it's part of your salvation walk. And the reason why I say that is, whether you find yourself in a marriage, or you find yourself in a job, or you find yourself in a relationship with a friend, or you find yourself as a son or a daughter, whatever your position may be in life, do you know that God wants you to treat that thing importantly? What am I saying? I can come to church. I can sing and bring the heavens down. But then when I go home, I have an argument with my husband and I say, okay, fine, we'll see if you eat in this house for the next week. That is not aligning with what you're doing in church. You need to walk out your salvation, even in your marriage. God is interested in that thing that you're doing in your marriage. God is interested in that thing you're doing even at work. We don't, going to church is not the thing. It's your lifestyle. And Working out your salvation in marriage is important. I know the reason why I want to use marriage as an example, because marriage is one of those things that will test your patience. Do I agree?
Yeah.
Marriage is one of those things that will test your patience. And I just gave other examples just in case you're not found yourself to be married. Maybe we have singles people. There are things in life that will test your patience, like driving down M4. Some people didn't get that joke. There's some things that will test your patience, like maybe being in the workplace. My God, I tell you, over the last 3 weeks, my patience has been tested at work. Let me speak the truth and shame the devil. But let me tell you, in that thing is where you will work out your salvation. Let's go to a scripture about the fruits. Let's go to a scripture. There's actually two scriptures I'd like us to read. Often at times, we've all read the scripture in Romans chapter 12, verse 1. Romans chapter 12, verse 1. It says, I appeal to you therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. So that scripture, maybe often at times, I used to think that scripture is talking about maybe my sacrifice of worship in church, my sacrifice of, you know, being in a choir. No, but what's that your sacrifice? What sacrifice are you making in that marriage? Sometimes you know you're right, but you know what? Don't argue. Give that man food. Help him out with his laundry. In times we make sacrifices in our walk with God. In Romans chapter 12, verse 1, that is presenting your body as a living sacrifice. Your walk with God is a living sacrifice and as to God. The Hebrews boy said, no, I will not bow for the God. If you throw us in fire, so be it. Is your life a living sacrifice unto God? It's not a song you sing. It's not the books you read or the scriptures you quote. Is your walk in your marriage, is it a living sacrifice unto God? The way you behave in the workplace, is that a living sacrifice unto God? The other scripture I'd like us to also refer to, sorry, you don't have to maybe take down all the scriptures, but I just want to reference my examples being backed up by the word of God. You know, in Galatians chapter 5, verse 22, it talks about the fruits of the Spirit, doesn't it? And it says, but the fruit of the Spirit is what? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, and faithfulness. Oh, but God, I pay my tithes. God, I'm always on time for service. But you know what? What I love about God is, how will you demonstrate patience? How will you demonstrate kindness if God does not set you up in that situation? You know, when I was going through challenges at work, I was just like, God, what is this really? Like, I don't understand why you go to work and some people make it their mission to just make people's life miserable. I was like, God, what is this? But then something came to me that don't complain. It's a blessing in disguise. Because how are you going to sharpen your fruit of patience? How are you going to sharpen your fruit of kindness if God doesn't put you in that situation? And so in rounding up, I just want to say that when you're in marriage, when you face challenges, or if you face challenges in other facets of your life, maybe you're facing challenges, maybe you feel like things aren't working out, I don't know, in your finances, in your relationship with your siblings, whatever your case may be, know that something is not wrong with you. It's called life, but God's grace is sufficient for you. And in that, he's producing the fruits of patience, the fruit of kindness, the fruit of love, the fruit of joy in all those situations. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Also, you know, one of the things I wrote here, but I think I've hammered the point already. I wrote here, I said, Hollywood lied to you. You know, I said, Hollywood lies to you. When you watch Titanic, when you watch Beauty and the Beast, you know, that's just something, that's escapism. But real life, you will have to go through the motions. But I tell you, God has already gone ahead of you to see you through it. Amen. And I just wrote that down because if you're going through challenges, there's nothing wrong with your life. It's not an ancestral curse. It's not witches calling your name. It's not because you're not good enough or God doesn't love you. Even Jesus went through challenges. It's called life. But God has already given you the weapons through the word of God. Amen? Amen. And then the third point I put down is, in doing marriage God's way, we should not allow the world to influence our marriages. Or, if you're not married, we should not allow the world to influence how we go through life, whatever relationships you may find yourself in. But obviously the focus is marriage this month. So I wanted us to look at a story. I'm sure some of us know the story of a king called Solomon. And who else should we listen to but Solomon? You know, history, not just the Bible says history, we can check it out ourselves, says that Solomon was one of the richest men on earth, richer than your Forbes list or whatever the list is right now. He was so rich that even the Queen of Bathsheba came to see and say, is this true? Can someone have this much wealth? He was so rich. And we also know him to be a man that God gave great wisdom. So I'd like us to just revisit that story this morning. Let's turn to 1 Kings chapter 3, and we'll read from verse 5 through to 15. I can read it for us, so you can follow along with me if you'd like. 1 Kings chapter 3, verse 5 to 15. This is talking about Solomon at the beginning of his reign. And it says, at Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon during the night in a dream. And God said, ask for whatever you want me to give you. Solomon answered, you have shown great kindness to your servant, my father David, because he was faithful to you and righteous and upright in heart. You have continued this great kindness to him, and they have given him a son to sit on this throne this very day. Now, Lord my God, you have made your servant king in place of my father, David. But I am only a little child and do not know how to carry out my duties. Your servant is here among the people you have chosen, a great people, too numerous to count on number. So give your servant a discerning heart to govern your people and to distinguish between right and wrong. For who is able to govern this great people of yours? And the Lord was pleased with Solomon, who Solomon had asked for this. So God said to him, since you have asked for this, and not for long life or wealth for yourself, nor have asked for death of your enemies, but for discernment in administering justice, I will do what you have asked. And I will give you a wise and discerning heart, so that there will never have been anyone like you, nor will there ever be. Let's just stop there. You can read the rest at home. So that was 1 Kings chapter 3, verse 5 to 15. So here we have Solomon. First of all, you know, in those days, the Holy Spirit, God didn't live in them. And here in this story, we see that God himself revealed himself to Solomon and asked Solomon, what do you want? And Solomon asked for wisdom and discerning spirit. And I wanted to read on because I didn't want you to just see that he asked for it, but God actually gave it to him. So how did this man, who had a discerning heart and wisdom, how was he not able to maintain his marriage? His marriages, if I can add the ES. How come someone that was so wise and so discerning could not maintain his marriages? Because for me, if you marry once, marry twice, third, fourth, and every what have you, and I'm not talking about maybe if you had an issue or maybe you had a loss in your spouse, the Bible says permits you to remarry again. But I'm saying someone who married once, twice, three times, you know where I'm going, right? And he still didn't find contentment. So how could a guy so discerning and full of wisdom? It's because he silenced the voice of the Holy Spirit in his life. And this is what we were saying at the beginning. There's so much wisdom. There's so many books you can read about marriage. There's so many great authors. But I tell you, it is only the Holy Spirit that can see you through this thing called marriage. And because Solomon silenced the voice of the, he silenced the voice of God. In our days, it's the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit lives in us. But because Solomon, that relationship with God was cut off, you know, he just kept on marrying, found no joy, found no peace. And let's read 1 Kings chapter 11, verse 1 to 3. So we've moved on from chapter 3 to chapter 11 now. And Solomon, sadly, hasn't got that relationship that he had at the beginning with God. And the scripture says here, King Solomon loved many foreign women. He loved the daughter of Pharaoh. You know, it's so funny. God, someone said something. God doesn't just write the Bible just for writing. So every single word hits home. He didn't just marry many women, but he actually intentionally married. He said he loved the foreign women. He married foreign women, the daughter of Pharaoh, Moabite, Ammonite, Edomite, Sidonite, Hittite, from the nations which Yahweh has said to the Israelites, you shall not marry them, and they shall not marry you. They certainly will turn your heart after other gods. But Solomon clung to them. He clung to them, and he had 700 princesses and 300 concubines, and his wives turned his heart. His wives turned his heart away from God. We cannot allow the world to influence our marriage, because the world doesn't even know where they're going. The world is confused. Again, this buttresses the point of we must allow the Holy Spirit to lead us in our marriage. And I wrote here, earthly wisdom cannot alone sustain a marriage. If you see the most expensive counselor, it can help, but it's not enough. You cannot silence the voice of God in your marriage or in your life. You know why? Because the Holy Spirit is very instrumental in every facet of our life. That is why there's a scripture that we always pray in this house, and Pastor has often led us in it, John chapter 16, verse 13. He says, however, when the Spirit of truth has come, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. And remember that God is the one who sets up the institution of marriage. So you cannot do marriage without the author of marriage. Can't go through it without him. Amen. And we cannot go through life without God. I just want to emphasize that point. And lastly, even as we round up, I'd like us to look at a story in closing. Because we might say that, okay, the reason why Solomon actually derailed is because his heart was completely off from God. He wasn't even with God anymore. He had gone so deep in his love, you know, for the things of the world, marrying all these foreign women. But I also like us to read Genesis chapter 19. And if you want to read the whole story because of time, this is the story of Lot's wife, Genesis chapter 19 from the whole of chapter 19 actually, down to maybe verse 30, you can read about the story of Lot and his family. But I want to focus on Genesis chapter 19 from verse 25 to 26. Genesis chapter 19, verse 25 to 26. So this is talking about the turmoil that Sodom and Gomorrah went through. The angel of the Lord went to Lot and his family and told them to quickly flee, because he was going to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. So it says here, thus he overthrew those cities and the entire plain, destroying all those living in the cities and also the vegetation in the land. But Lot's wife looked back, and she became a pillar of salt. Amen. You know, this story, hearing it as a child, I often thought, there's only one person in the Bible that is, this story is like, you know, if you've watched any of the Marvel films, you're like, did this really happen? Someone turned to salt? And this story always makes me curious. That what is God trying to, you know, say about this story? Why did he make sure that it was in the scriptures? He knew we will need it in 2025. The Bible says Lot's wife looked back. And for me, it's just that as a child of God, the Bible says that the path that is wide, many are walking on it, but the path that is narrow is the path that leads to heaven. Just me paraphrasing. And for me, Lot's wife looking back represented, obviously, her love for Egypt. Her love for, oh God, but where are we running to? Lord, my shoes that I left back in Sodom and Gomorrah, my nice job, my nice house, everything. But when I was thinking of why was she turned to even a pillar of salt? How many of us have salt in our kitchen? You have salt in your kitchen? Or maybe some of us, we're doing some sort of fit farm diet. We don't use salt anymore. Maybe we have sea salt. Have you heard of sea salt? Yeah, I think it's a better version. Anyway, so what does salt do to food? Pardon? Okay, that's a chef explanation, yeah? Salt gives food taste, right? It has an impact, it has an effect. And the word of God says that we Christians, we are the salt of the earth. So here, you know, Lot's wife, she was a child of God. She was a daughter of the most living God. And she had what people in Sodom and Gomorrah, some of them, they didn't even believe in God. But Lot and his family, they were children of God. They believed in God of their fathers, Abraham and what have you. But how can someone full of God's knowledge and full of faith, how can she turn to salt? She had God and everything, but her love for the world made her stagnant. And this is what I just wanted to hit home. You know, in our marriages, I know there's so many things that the world is throwing at us. And there's things like, you know, open relationship or different things about how, what the world is saying marriage should turn to, you know. But you cannot be a child of God and also be a child that loves the world or loves Sodom and Gomorrah and loves Egypt. Because what will happen in your walk with God is that you'll just be stagnant. Like Lot's wife, you will stand still. You will be stagnant. So in reading that story, I just wanted us to know that when we're looking at marriage, or if you're not married here, and maybe you're believing God to be married one day, or maybe, you know, you're single, or whatever, wherever you find yourself in life. We need to, as Pastor was saying 2 weeks ago, when he used Rebecca and Isaac as an example, that these two people, what distinguished them is that these are lovers of God. Rebecca would not be able to hear God if she did not have a relationship with God. So in everything that we're doing in life, in marriage, in work, or what have you, is you are the salt of the earth. But if you don't work on your relationship with God or what have you, you'll be stagnant. You will be, because there's a work that we need to do. And can I just say this? I think I mentioned it once. Do you know that coming to church is not really like, it's not, yep, I came to church. And I came to church at time, tick, I have a relationship with God. I want to say this thing, and, you know, maybe I don't want to sound harsh because it's for myself. God wants us to build a better relationship with us. If in a month we only open the Bible on Sundays, God is happy with that, but God wants us to do more. Not because he's a religious God and that if you read your Bible 100 times, then that means you get first position in entering heaven. No. He wants you to read your Bible more. He wants you to pray more. He wants you to come in fellowship with him more because He wants to have a relationship with you, and he loves you. And in finding God, that's how we change. That's how we grow. Because we do not want to be stagnant. We shall not be stagnant like Lot's life, in Jesus' name. Amen. God will give us the grace. Amen?
Amen.
God will make us love his word, in Jesus' name.
Amen.
God will make us love his presence, in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Not just in church, but outside, in Jesus' name.
Amen.
And guess what? God is living inside of you. God is with you. The presence of God is not only in church. The presence of God is wherever you are. When you're in traffic, have church right there. Blast your music. When you're in work, I would say when you're in work, but when you're in work, I just want to say, someone said a joke, when they're in work, they'll go and they'll be praying prayers and everything. When you're in work, God wants you to be a good steward. You're supposed to do your work, okay? When you're on your break, then you can pray, okay? But God is not put in a box. I'm just trying to drive home that coming to church is wonderful and God loves it and God is always here waiting for you, but God wants a closer walk and he doesn't want you to be stagnant. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. So just in rounding up this morning, what have we looked at today? So we're still looking at loving the right way, and we were looking at doing Christian marriage God's way, and we looked at three main points this morning, that in doing marriage God's way, you know, we can start by doing the following things. Viewing marriage as one of many blessings of God. If you're married, don't just take it for granted. It is a great blessing from God. And God wants you to do your best in making sure you treat that spouse or your partner good. And we talked about having a good knowledge or relating with the word of God will help you in your marriage. The second point we looked at is, if you find yourself married, and if you're not married, whatever position you find yourself in life, whether you're a mother, father, son, or daughter, or maybe you are someone in a workplace, that God, wherever you find yourself, it is part of your salvation walk. Your salvation walk is not just attached to maybe you sing in a choir or you're an usher, but your salvation walk is wherever situation you find yourself. And then lastly, we looked at not allowing the ways of the world to influence our marriage. Amen.
Amen.
Seems like people are really tired this morning, so we got to make sure the coffee is flowing. Maybe we should make the coffee flow before the service. Amen.
Amen.
And God will help us. I'd just like us to rise up this morning and really pray. Amen. We've looked at so many things this morning. One of the scriptures that I loved that we looked at, was it John chapter 16, verse 3? If we can have that on the board again. Oh, it wasn't John chapter 16, verse 3. So we talked about, it's a scripture about the peace of God. And God will keep you in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you. Yes, that was Isaiah. Thank you, brother. Isaiah chapter 26, verse 3, thank you. I want us to pray this morning. This scripture says, you will keep in perfect peace those whose minds are steadfast because they trust in you. And there's a scripture that says that one of the greatest commandments is that we should love the Lord our God with all our strength, with all our might, with all our mind. There's one version that says with all our mind. But we need a good mind to worship the Lord. So we're going to pray to God this morning that Heavenly Father, we've heard so many things about marriages, and even beyond marriage, we've heard in your word, in Isaiah chapter 26, verse 3, you said that you will keep in perfect peace those whose minds are steadfast because they trust in you. First of all, I want to lift up any marriage, maybe you know, of friends, families, maybe any marriage that's under challenge. Well, I want us to look at our lives in general. Is there any area of our lives where we're having challenges? There's good news this morning. The word of God says he will keep in perfect peace whose minds are steadfast because they trust you. This morning, just say, Father, Lord, I put my mind on you. I set my mind on you. Father, Lord, help me to trust you. Say, I walk in peace concerning any challenge in my marriage, any challenge maybe in your job, in your finances, just begin to declare the word of God. The word of God is power. As you decree it, so it shall be in the name of Jesus. Let's begin to raise our voice. Father, Lord, we thank you for Isaiah chapter 26, verse 3. You said, you will keep in perfect peace those whose mind is steadfast and trust in you. Father, Lord, we call our minds to order this morning. The word of God says we have the mind of Christ. Father, Lord, is there anything that is troubling your children's mind this morning? Father, we thank you, Lord, because they are steadfast in you, Father, Lord, and they trust you. We thank you because there's peace. We speak peace to anything that may have been troubling any mind, the minds of people this morning. In the name of Jesus, we thank you, Lord. There was a song that we sang earlier. I'd like us to just take it as a prayer song this morning. You are my strength when I am weak. Hallelujah. Let's sing it. Amen. You are my strength. You are my strength when I am weak. You are the treasures that I seek. You are my all in all. Come on, sing it from your heart this morning. Seeking you as a precious jewel. Lord, I give up, I'll be a fool. You are my all in all. Jesus, Jesus.